chapter 5. Had a good time preaching this morning. I appreciated your attention and letting the Lord speak to you. And we had several raise their hand, two that raised their hand this morning that is lost. I wish you'd pray for them, that the good Lord would speak to them even now where they are this evening. The Lord knows where they sit and knows what they're doing. And I'm glad the Lord can get in your tater patch if you're in the service or if you're at home trying to hide from it. And the Lord knows how to deal with sinners. I remember all I want to do, the service, I really fell under true old-time Bible conviction, Holy Ghost conviction. All I want to do is get out of that service. And I got out of it, thankful that I could just get home and try and get away from that. And then I found out the Lord is just as real at home when I was all by myself as he was in that service, that old leather lung man of God screaming at me. And let's do pray for them this evening. One of them was Charlie Ann. She raised her hand again this morning that she needed to be saved. And of course, the church has been praying for her for years. And one of these days, she's going to surprise us and she's going to get saved by the grace of God. I believe that. And then a young lady was here this morning, been coming for several weeks now. Young Catherine that's been coming with Deepa and her family as they've been visiting. They're not here this evening, but Catherine raised her hand, tears running down her face, and she was lost and needed to be saved. And I wish you'd pray for that young girl. Without getting into all of it, the Lord knows all the hurts that she's had in life and the things that she's been through, and the people that ought to have loved her that ain't loved her the way they should. And I know one in heaven that the Bible said there is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. There's one that loves her more than she can ever dream about being loved. And we know about that this evening. We're thankful the Lord can save her. And so you pray for her this evening. I don't always call their names out, but we are a church family and these are sinners that the Lord's brought by our way. And let's bind together and pray for them in these days. All right. 1 John chapter 5. Stand with me if you will. We've been preaching out of Romans chapter number 8 where the Apostle Paul said, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." We've been preaching on the thought, or we started with that verse in that passage of Scripture. And several verses before and after it, preaching on victory in Jesus. We're living in a generation of Christianity and church members that, my friend, I believe are living below their means. They're living below the level of victory that God has saved you and I to have. And you mark it down, we're going to have tribulation, we're going to have suffering, we're going to have problems, we're going to have difficult days. But these ain't days to be quitting on God. These are not days to be living in discouragement. But rather, in these things, Paul said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him. And so, we believe there's victory. There is victory in Jesus Christ. It's more than a good song. It's more than a good message. We believe tonight it ought to be the reality of every believer's life tonight, that you and I would live in victory. It's portrayed all through the Scripture, and there's many areas that we want to deal with in days and weeks to come as it relates to that of having victory in all these things. We preached last Sunday morning on victory over suffering, that we can be overcomers. We can live in a spirit of victory. It ain't the will of God that the things that cause us to suffer would get us down, that we'd rise up in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and live in victory through every day of suffering. Peter said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials." My friend, don't think that you're the only one going through it, and don't think that you can't make it. You can make it through the power of Christ. This morning we began this message out of these verses, verse 1 down through verse number 6, on victory over the world. Let's read the verses again, and we'll kind of hit around, see if we can get, amen, strike some oil this evening. All right? Verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that believeth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came up by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. This evening you can be seated. Pray with me as we ask the Lord one more time to help us. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, on the onset of this message. Lord, my voice is weak, my body's tired. Lord, you know the frailties of all that I am. And so, Lord, I want to ask you one more time, Lord, not out of habit, but God, because I desperately need the touch of God, that you'd allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak through us. And Lord, we may not be able to physically preach how we want to tonight, but God, I pray you'd endow us, Lord, put upon us the power of Almighty God. May we not preach in the wisdom of men, but may we preach in the wisdom and the power of Almighty God tonight. God, I pray you would indeed give us victory over the world. Lord, we're seeing people, young and old, all around us, Lord, that are caving in and surrendering to the world and living discouraged in this world. God, I pray tonight we'd learn that we can have victory even over the world in which we live, and all you do for us tonight. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can look this way. When we began preaching this morning, we noted in this passage of Scripture that John is concerned with the subject and the matter tonight of the believer having victory over the world. In verse number 4, the Bible said, "And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And so we noted this morning that evidently John is interested in you and I having an attitude and a spirit and a life of that of victory. The word that he uses, overcometh, twice in this verse, and the word victory that he uses all come from the same word, meaning to prevail, to triumph, to conquer, or to subdue. And this evening, I believe if we be honest with ourselves and honest with the generation of Christianity that you and I live in, we're not seeing many people prevail in the world that we're living in. They're not triumphing over it. They're not conquering it. And they're not subduing certain worldly temptations and pleasures that come our way in this hour. And yet they yield themselves to the world and the things that are in the world. John is interested in the believer having victory over what he calls the world. The world that he speaks of here deals primarily with tonight the world system, and that which is opposed to God, to Christ, and to the church this evening. We understand tonight that the world is not our friend. The believer in the church has three enemies. That is, our flesh is our enemy. And by the way, amen, that's probably our own worst enemy. We are our own worst enemy tonight. And the flesh and the devil, but the world is called the believer's enemy tonight. The world is not our friend. They're not going to get along with us. My friend, and we ought not try to get along with them. Amen, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We studied this morning, and the Word of God has much to say about the world. John 3:16. Amen, we noted that the world is the object of God's love. I'm glad tonight that God loves this world as bad a shape as it's in. God still loves this world, and my friend, he loves it enough that he proved it by sending his Son to die on Calvary and to give his life a ransom for many out of this ungodly world. I'm glad when I was of the world that God loved the world and those that were in the world, amen, and provided a means of salvation because he loved this world. And he's saying an act in John 15 in verses 18 down through verse 20. We noted this morning that the world, it hates it and is in opposition to Christ and His church. Amen. Again, the world is not our friend. They're not a friend to our Lord tonight. My friend, they hate Him. They despise Him. They despise everything He stands for. And tonight we understand that the world, amen, hates and is in opposition not only to Christ, but to you and me. Christ said to His disciples, He said, marvel not that the world hates you. He said, don't get upset when they persecute you. They persecuted me, and they're going to persecute you. And so the ACLU and all these worldly organizations have set their sights on old time religion and Bible believers and the church, real church of the living God. And my friend, they work in opposition to that. Every sodomite, every drunken stupor crowned death, amen, this world that lives in their adultery and their fornication, my friend, they are not in a mindset of getting along with us. They hated Christ and what He stood for, and they hate you and I because we love Him, and we mark the lands where Christ marked the lands, and the world is in opposition to you and I. Amen. This is because John said in 1 John 5 and verse 19 that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Amen. And tonight the world does lie in wickedness. It's all filled with sin and immorality and all sorts, my friend, of lascivious living. And my friend, the whole world tonight lieth in wickedness everywhere you go. Nearly every billboard you see, my friend, reminds you and I that the world lieth in wickedness. Amen. I don't preach against TV, but I preach against what we watch on TV. And it's sad that nearly every commercial tonight reminds you and I that the whole world lies in wickedness. Every news broadcast, and my friend, tells you and I about the latest murder and the latest rat and the newest war and the newest, amen, thing that has come out and is steeping men further and further in sin. Reminds you and I that the whole world lies in wickedness, and that's why, amen, they can't get along with us and we can't get along with them. Amen, we're living in polar opposite worlds tonight. Amen, we may be in it, but thank God we ain't of it. And that, amen, was our next thought this morning in John 17:14. Amen, we find that Christ in His high priestly prayer reminds you and I that though in it, the believer is not of this world. I'm glad tonight. And when I got saved and, amen, met the love of God and met the Savior and the Lord, and my friend, I was taken out of the world. Amen. I'm still in it, but I'm not of it anymore. I'm not attached to its system. I'm not characterized by those that lie in wickedness and sin tonight. Our life has been changed. Amen. But Tim, we're in it. We're not of it. In the very next verse, Christ prayed, and He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. He said, but keep them from the evil. And what is the Lord praying? I told you this morning, and we kind of used it to compare and spring into our thought, but Christ is praying there. Father, they've got to live in this world. They're not of it, just like I'm not of it. They're going to live in it, and so they live in it. I'm not praying that you would kill them and take them to heaven. They've got a job to do. They've got a ministry to perform. The work of God must go on through them while they're in this world. I pray You'd give them victory and keep them from all the evil that's in the world. And I remind you tonight, there is evil in the world. Can I remind you tonight that somebody has already prayed for you? Amen. 2,000 years ago, the darling Son of God, amen, in communicating with His Father, amen, seen Gerald Taylor, and said, don't take him out of the world, not until it's his time, at all the days he has living for God there. I pray you give him victory, yeah, and that the evil that's in the world there would not bring him down. Can I say tonight on the pulpit to the pew, we're saying people in church tonight that are giving in to the evil of the world there. Amen. They've forgotten that though they're in it, they're not to be of it. And that's why, amen, the word of God, John said earlier in his writing, amen, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We've got a, amen, a responsibility tonight as believers in the church of the living God, to be submissive to the prayer of Christ, and not get involved in the evil of this world. In the model prayer the Lord gave his disciples, he said, Lord, teach us to pray. One of the things he said you need to learn and apply in the practice of your prayer life is, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why? Because we're living in an evil world. Every billboard calls you an ad. Join the world in their wickedness. Every commercial calls the believer and the child of God to compromise and to give in and to move the boundaries and join them in all their lasciviousness and sinful living. Amen. But can I remind you tonight, that ain't the life we've been saved to. It's a life we've been saved out of. Amen, friend, we're to live a life of victory over this world. There's three evils I give you this morning that we got to deal with in this world that we must have victory over. Amen. 1 John 4 verses 1 through 5. Amen. He said that there are spirits of Antichrist and false prophets that have arisen, and you've got to try those spirits whether they're of God. And John reminded you in that in verse number 4, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said in the end of verse number 3, he said, whereof ye have heard that it should come, speaking the spirit of Antichrist, and he said, and even now already is it in the world. You got to understand tonight, there are philosophies tonight that run rampant through our world and are evil and are wicked and are anti-God and anti-Christ. And John nearly 2,000 years ago sat down and wrote and said, it's already here. It's already at work. It's already trying to draw people away from God. And my friend, the believer must understand that, and we're not to yield ourselves to the evil philosophies of this world. God's got preachers, but the world's got its preachers. We called some of them this morning, Oprah and Dr. Phil, and amen, and amen, all the others, Myers, Joyce Myers, and amen, old Smiley Joel, amen. And this evening we can stand and call more and more tonight at men and women that have risen up, and they proclaim things that are contrary to the Word of God. And my friend, they want us to buy in, but the believer is to have victory over the evil philosophies of this world. Amen. I'm getting bogged down again. Somebody pray for me. Amen. We got to have victory tonight over the evil pleasures that are in the world. Matthew 4, Satan takes the Lord in the wilderness temptation, and in a split moment of time, he revealed to the Lord all the kingdoms of the world, the Bible said, and the glory of them all. He showed him all the pleasure, all the glory, all the good time. Amen. And thank God the Lord resisted in that temptation. Amen. Somebody said the temptation of Christ, it was hell's best against heaven's best, and the outcome was never in jeopardy. Yet, amen, the Son of God overcame that temptation. Amen. He said no, amen, to the evil pleasures that are in the world. And I say tonight that that's what we've been preaching thus far, the evil pleasures of this world, I think, are really what's gotten a hold in our generation. All the sin, the shacking, the immorality, the lying, the cheating, the cussing. Amen. All the lascivious living. My friend, it goes on. It's all linked into, amen, the evil pleasures that the world promotes. But the child of God is to have victory over those evil pleasures. Amen. Listen, it feels good in the flesh. And the Bible said that Moses, my friend, chose rather, amen, to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin. They were down in Egypt at great tap in the world. He said, no, I'm not going the route the rest of everybody else is. Amen. If I got to suffer with God's people, that would be better. And then enjoying the pleasures of the world for a season. There are pleasures, my friend. There, amen. They're drunken stupors. They'll get in tonight. Amen. They're drunken orgies and immoral living tonight that they'll be involved in. There'll be pleasure in it. But my friend, when all the pleasure's gone and the season runs out, they'll be filled with regret. They'll be filled, my friend, with all sorts of feelings of depression and discouragement. Amen. Because the pleasures that are in the world are all only for a season, and you and I, same people, ought to be having victory over the pleasures that are in the world. This doesn't mean we don't enjoy things in this life. Amen. I don't want to go so far tonight that we would present it in such a way that the only thing we can do is breathe and eat once a day. Can I get a witness? Amen. That's just as wrong as this other crowd. It says everything goes. I believe we've been saved. Enjoy life. We've been saved tonight. Amen. There's a new outlook on life, and there are things we find joy and pleasure in as it relates to this world, but we avoid and abstain. Amen. These things that are evil and are sin and are condemned in the Word of God. Amen. We don't allow ourselves to be, amen, defeated by the evil pleasures that are in the world. There's evil persecutions from the world. Hebrews 11. I read it to you this morning as Paul recounted. There were some that had put their faith in the Lord that had been sawn asunder and been stoned and persecuted. And Paul made the statement of whom the world was not worthy. And friend, it was the world that brought persecution among them. We'll see it in the end of the message tonight. But in John 16 in the last verse, verse 33, Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And so you can mark it down the net. At the world again, they're not our friend. They'll do everything they can to persecute you and I and bring trouble to you and I. Amen. They'll do everything they can to shut us up and to shut us down. Why? Because the world is designed by, amen, its very own system, and it would bring persecution to God's children and His and the church of the Lord Jesus. You got to understand tonight, they're not our friend. And these churches that are going a liberal route have said, we don't want the world to be so mad at us, and we're going to invent some ways to bring the world in, and the world would be comfortable. Can I say, and the world and heathens have never been comfortable around, my friend, the true Word of God and true believers, and what is right. The Bible, my friend, is a mirror, amen, that we preach that they've got to look into and see how wicked they are and sinful they are, and how deserving of hell they really are. And the world and many in the world tonight, amen, don't want to hear that. That's why as a child of God, you've got to get victory over the world and understand, again, you're in it, but you're not of it. The more world that's in you, the more contrary you'll be when the Word of God is preached. Amen. I ain't got time to get in on all that. I'm out running myself. Notice with me back in our passage, that's the main thrust of what we preach this morning. Notice with me that John said in our text, Jesus prayed for victory, but John is now writing. And he says, listen, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. How in the world do we overcome the world? John said, I'm telling you the key of how you overcome the world and have victory over the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It is our faith and our confidence in God and the things of God. It's our confidence and faith in who God is and what God has said and what God has done in our life. It brings victory and the spirit of overcoming a very ungodly and sinful world. You start lacking in faith and confidence in Him and who He is, what He said and what He's done for you. You'll begin to yield to every temptation the world throws your way. So how do we overcome the world? Number one, by confidence in the power of His salvation. I don't overcome the world in my own power and by the power of the flesh. In fact, the more I lean on the flesh, the more worldly I become. Amen. The more I live in the flesh, the more I mind the things of the flesh. And the world's a fleshly realm. Amen. I'm not to live in the flesh. And every time I do, mark it down, I'll fall. Amen. To the temptations and the pleasures and philosophies and persecution that's found in this world. John said, listen, whosoever believeth in Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. He said in verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth in Jesus is the Son of God. You know what John's is saying? There's got to be a time in your life where you've been to Calvary. There's got to be a time in your life where you've met the Lord and the Lord has passed by your way. There's got to be a time in your life. Amen. Where you bowed your knee and repented of your sin and called on the Lord. Amen. He said in our text verse, that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. There's got to be a supernatural power brought to you that comes in salvation. I like what Peter said in his writing in 1 Peter in chapter 1, that when we got saved, our friend were given the divine nature of God. That man, friend, that nature only knows to follow God. That divine nature, and listen to me and hear me right, don't you misquote what I say. That divine nature, that divine power on the inside, amen, it is impossible for that nature to do anything contrary to God. Amen, that's a divine nature. That's the, amen, that's the spirit man on the inside. Amen. Now the flesh can do anything the flesh could have done before in God's sake. Thank God the divine nature. Amen. That makes you and I partakers of His holiness. Amen. Gives you and I the power that comes in salvation that we might resist the world and everything it brings. So I just can't get victory over the world. I just find myself all the time doing worldly things. Can I ask you a question on that? Have you ever been born of God? Amen. And I'm not trying to cast out, amen, these are fine land and that. Amen. I'm glad that God saves lost church members. Amen. Amen. And there's probably a lot more need saved. Amen. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt tonight, amen, what God has done for you. But I'm telling you tonight that somebody that says they're saved and they never have victory over the world and they can't ever get overcome. Amen. They can never have a spirit of overcoming of the things that are in this world. There's something wrong when you got saved. Amen. You was given the power of His salvation. John said, whatsoever is born of God. I'm having a hard time getting off this today. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now before I got saved, I wasn't interested in overcoming the world. But the very second I got saved, there's something on the inside. At my friend, whenever, amen, I would go to do something that maybe I used to do or say something I used to would say, amen, or partake in some activity that I used to have a desire to partake in, there was something on the inside that was a stop sign there, amen, that showed me you can't do this anymore. You can't do this anymore. Amen. You say, what is that? Amen. That's that divine nature on the inside. Amen. That's the power of His salvation. Death. Amen. I used to have a bad mouth before I got saved. Amen. I told y'all about the day that I took Daddy. Daddy hardly ever went fishing with us. But he went with us one day and we got a fish and the fish wasn't a baiting net. And we called it Beaver Dam Pond. Death. It had the biggest beaver dam you ever did set. And we got over there. We got tired of fishing. Daddy's on the other side of the lake. And we got over there tearing that beaver dam down there. And the further we got in it, we got in a big old nest of snakes and cotton mouths and water moccasins. And Brother A.L., and I started seeing them snakes. Amen. It wasn't them snakes made me cuss. It was that stuff on the inside. Amen. That stuff that was down on the inside. And I began to curse it and take the name of the Lord in vain. And said things I shouldn't have said. Now, I forgot what they taught me in science class, that sound has a way of being amplified across water. Daddy heard some things come out of me that Daddy had never heard his voice say before. And son, I'll never forget watching Daddy walk across that pond. Amen. I don't even know what caught my eye, maybe. Amen. It was the swiftness and the sternness that he had. Amen. And every step he took. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Amen. The very moment I got saved. Hallelujah. All that was on the inside. Amen. That divine power moved in. That divine nature. I got born of God. Amen. And when I get in a situation where I had a cuss before, amen, that divine nature said, well, yes, sir, you can't say that no more. Amen. Amen. I might get in all the things I used to do behind Daddy's back, but I'm telling you, amen, September the 14th, 1996, amen, that divine nature moved in. I became a partaker of His holiness. I'm not telling you I always do right. I ain't telling you I always talk right. I don't cuss no more. Somebody say amen. But I get a bad attitude like you do every now and then. There's something on the inside when I do. And says, you know that ain't right, let better. Hey, son, you got to change your ways. Amen, there's a divine nature that power of His salvation gives victory over worldly living. Everybody all right? You say, you're saying that I can't, that I, if I'm really saved, I can't sin. No, what I am saying tonight is that if you say and you go to sin, there's something on the inside of you, amen, that tries to stop you, amen, this crowd that, amen, can I preach for a minute tonight? Amen, this crowd, they get caught in sin, amen, and then they want to weep and cry. And I'm not saying I'm against it. Old David never prayed Psalm 51 until he got caught. My friend, I'm telling you, there's something, amen, there's something after you sin that makes you feel conviction. There's something, my friend, while you're sinning that makes you feel conviction. Amen. And you hear what I'm getting ready to say. There's something before you sin. Amen. When you're getting ready and that temptation comes and you begin to lean on the arm of flesh, amen, right before you do it, there's something, if you're really saved, that said, wait a minute, Will. Stop that, Dean. Don't take another step further. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Amen. That's why John the Beloved can say with such confidence, amen, he that is born of God, whatsoever is born of God, at which God is, my friend, imparted His very nature to, and it is a nature of victory. Amen. The same victory He had over the world, it's the same nature He puts in you that you can have victory over the world. Amen. We say, what are you saying? I guess really what I'm trying to get at, if y'all smile, I can move off of this. And that is this. Those that are truly saved have victory tonight. Amen. All right, number two. Y'all buckle your seatbelt. It goes down from here. Confidence in the power of His salvation. Look again in verse number one. Notice what John said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, that is, every believer that loves the one that has saved them, loveth him also that is begotten of him. If you've really been saved, you'll love others that are saved. Is that what it said? I think that's what he's saying. That's the command of John 15, Brother A.L. Amen. He said, I'm leaving you a commandment, and that commandment is that you love one another. Amen. In fact, in the very passage of John 15, before Jesus spoke to them about the world and the hatred they was going to find in the world, he reminded them the greatest thing that they could show in evidencing that they were truly born again was that they have a love one for another. Amen. You saw, everybody knows I'm saved. I wear a dress every day of my life. That ain't what Jesus said proves you're really saved. And I think if you're saved, you ought to dress right. Amen. Men will get a short haircut. They'll take mama's jewelry off. Amen. I think them's all good things, but that ain't how people know you're saved. There's something on the inside of you when you get born again that you begin to realize you need the people of His sanctuary. Amen. And can I say tonight, and as you read this passage of Scripture, watch it now. Amen. He said, notice it again, everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Let me say tonight that John references the love of these within the Christian faith. Why is that? He's getting ready to remind them that they need to overcome the world. There needs to be victory over the world. And you're not going to have victory over the world apart from the people of God. This mentality of, well, I can stay home and go to church in my lazy boy, is a doctrine out of hell. The plan and the will of God, and you listen to me good and well, the perfect plan and will of God according to your King James Bible is that you get saved, baptized, and be added unto a membership of a local New Testament Bible-believing, Bible-teaching King James Bible preaching old-timey Baptist church. That's the will of God for your life. Why? Because you're living. Listen, the very moment you got saved, you're saved out of the world. He delivers you out of that world system. And you're still in it, and you got to navigate through it. You've got to live through it. You got to work in it. You got to buy your groceries in it. You got to buy your gas in it. And you're still in an ungodly world. Amen. What's going to help me overcome the world? It is the people of His sanctuary. This crowd that begins to drift away and church ain't important to them, it ain't long till that crowd winds up running back to the world they claim God saved them out of. Am I right? You better believe I'm right. What did Paul say? Was it Demas over there? He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Am I doing all right? Come on, nod your head like this. I'm telling you tonight, amen, this crowd, they began to drift away. It's amazing to me. Amen. And listen, there's things that come up and you can't get there. This crowd that won't be faithful to church, amen, won't get anchored in, won't be faithful and loyal and committed and loyal and faithful and committed and loyal and faithful and committed. It ain't long till they wind up. They can run on their own for a little while. God's plan for a New Testament church is that we would edify one another. We would exhort one another. That's Hebrews 10:25. Amen. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Paul said you need to be exhorting one another. Amen. Now watch it now. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, you need more church, not less church. Amen. Y'all might as well shake your head at me. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, you need church. You need church, and you need to belong to a church. You need to be committed to a church. There is a haven in having a church family. Amen. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying, if you're going to make it in this world, you've got to have something you can be identified with. that when the world comes against you, there's a band of believers that can say, hey, Dean, come on, let's live for God today. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. You need an old leather lung pastor. Yes, sir. A pastor with a steel backbone that'll look at you in your God-given eyeballs and say, you ain't right in this world. Amen. You need a pastor that'll pull you aside when things are not going well and the world is coming against you and you've yielded. Amen. You need, listen, that's God's design. Amen. He gave some prophets and some apostles and some evangelists and some what? Some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, the edifying the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints. What's he saying? He's teaching you in this world you live in, the world you've been saved out of, you're going to need the people of God to make it. Amen. This lone wolf mentality ain't going to cut it. We're having a lot of Demases come up in our day at a run into the world because their eyes on the world, they begin to detach from that place that God has put them into. Amen. Y'all might as well say, man, I know I'm right. Amen. Amen. Lay out of church. Amen. Y'all might as well look on up in here. It ain't right to be missing on a Sunday night. I'm looking around. There's a bunch of folk ought to be here that ain't here. You know why? You can say they're good all you want to say. And I'm going to tell you the problem is they don't love the work of God. They love the world more than they love the church. Whoa, hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's my family you're talking about. I can't help it. Your family, my family, it's still right. It's right to be in the house of God. Amen. It's right. I need the house of God. I can't get sick throwing my guts up and physically unable to make it and miss a service or two without feeling like a backslidden devil. Amen. And then you got some, man, it's like they flip coins whether or not they're coming. Heads I go, tails I don't. Hey, babe, it's tails again. Whoa! Everybody all right? We'll tell you something. You know what's got me through this ungodly world and all the things I faced in this ungodly world? Ain't God that power of His salvation's on the inside? Amen. There's been a band of believers all through my Christian life that God has used to remind me that I can make it. They're making it. I'm making it. We're making it together. You need the people of His sanctuary. Amen. Well, I'll get off that. I got a few more frowns on that one. Somebody say amen. The power of His salvation, the people of His sanctuary. I love the house of God. This crowd, I said I was moving on, didn't I? I just felt a little nudge to say something else. Well, I love the church and all. If you love it, you'd show up. Amen. Hallelujah. My daddy taught me, even before I got saved, taught me church is just right to go to church. I could be sick throwing my guts up. My daddy said, get in the van, boy. You going to church, you can be sick at church same as you can in the house. I'm not promoting that doctrine. I tried, but my wife puts her foot down. If it's up to me, bless God, they'd all go. I wouldn't care if they's green. Amen. You say, ah, that's mean. You know what it taught me, Brother Tim? At the house of God's important.
Amen. Well, yes, sir.
I'm just messing, man. Sometimes you got to stay home. I've learned, man, sometimes you physically can't go. But I'm going to tell you something. If I can get there, son, I'm a going. Amen. I don't understand this crowd join a church and then they there less than 50% of the time. Say amen, Kathy. I need some help. Amen. I need you. And you need me. And you need one another tonight. If you're going to make it through this ungodly world, you need one another tonight. Number whatever I'm on. The power of His salvation. The people of His sanctuary. Notice what He said in verse number 2. Hallelujah. By this know we that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You know what John's saying? If you're going to make it and have victory over the world, you need confidence in the precepts of His Scripture. You ain't going to make it without the Word of God. The Word of God, David said, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Where is it? A lamp and a light for me in this world that I live in. Amen. You're not going to make it with no relationship with the Word of God. And John said, where you've got to get to is not just knowing the Word, but getting to the place where you've kept His Word. Amen. I believe I'm right, brother. I believe I'm right. Amen. It ain't enough to just know it. I'm going to tell you something. Calvary Baptist Tabernacle ain't got no excuse for not keeping the commandments of God. You know what that Word says. Amen. You had a man of God 40 years preach the Word of God to you, preached it straight, preached it strong, preached it pure. He brought in other men that come in, and my friend was a link in the chain that stood and preached. And for almost a year now, you've had another young preacher who ain't the best preacher in the world, but still telling you what God says. You ain't got no excuse to not have victory over this world. Amen. I can't help how some things have been presented, but I'm going to tell you right. I'm going to tell you what, it's still right to do right. It's still right for a man to look like a man and a woman to look like a woman. Now, I'm just going to be honest. I have a hard time choking this mentality down. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord to convict me of that. Can I tell you what that is? That's the attitude of a rebel. Amen. It may only be an ounce, but there's an ounce of rebellion. You can be a good person with that mentality. I'm just waiting on God to convict me now. Whoa! I need a hammer. You know what John said? If you're going to have victory over it, you got to get the place where you keep it. And I want it to be in people's heart. I want them to have a personal conviction over how they dress or where they go or where they don't go or what they do or what they don't do. I want it to be in your heart to do. But if that book says it, whether you feel an ounce of conviction about it or not, you're still supposed to keep it. Amen. Everybody okay? Y'all know me now. I ain't one of these mean bulldogs, grab you by the throat and chew you up and spit you out. I'm just telling you, it's right. And if you're going to have victory over the world, you're going to have the Word of God kept in your life. Amen. Ain't we having a time? Well, I got to hurry. Amen. By the way, John did say when you get that place, it ain't grievous. It ain't a burden. It ain't a burden. I'm not trying to throw no burdens on nobody. Amen. That's what the Judaizers do. They put burdens that men can't bear on them. Amen. But you can bear modesty and you can bear separation and you can bear tonight. Amen. Coming out from among the world and being separate, you can bear that. You couldn't bear it, He wouldn't have told you to do so in the Word of God. You know what that is? That's the precepts of the Scripture that John said. You ever get the place, you say, I may not understand it, I may not see it that way, but it's right there. This is what I'm supposed to do, so I'm going to do it. John said, when you get to that place, it ain't a burden for you to live for God the way you ought to. Am I right? I love y'all now. Brother Ronnie might want to change his testimony about having a pastor he knows loves him now. I promise I love y'all. I promise I do. I'm just telling you, Brother A.L., if we get sideways with the Word of God, it ain't going to be long. We'll be knocked out plumb into the world. It's not grievous. It's not grievous. It's not a burden to keep what God has said to keep in His Word. Number four, and I'm done. Everybody said amen. The paths of His Spirit. Confidence in the paths of His Spirit. Notice verse number 6. Brother Dean, I keep taking your Bible. I'm sorry. Your wife is sharing with you. Amen. The Bible said, and it is the Spirit, the end of verse 6, it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Yes, sir. The ministry of the Lord, He's revealing the Spirit of God that's going to be sent as He ascends. And one of the titles He ascribes to Him is the Spirit of Truth. He said, when I leave, He said, I'm going to send you somebody else. And He called Him the Spirit of Truth, which is going to guide you into all truth. Watch it now. If you're saved, hanging around the people of God, in the Word of God, there is the paths of the Spirit of God that He bears witness in leading your life in what is right. And as you follow Him, guess what? You cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh. It ain't too strong, is it? Romans chapter 8, he said, they that are born of the Spirit, they are led of the Spirit. That what He said, do we need to turn there? He said that if you're born of the Spirit, you're led of the Spirit. The Spirit of God takes up residence, and we're not to live in the flesh anymore. We're to mortify the deeds of the flesh, and we are to live in the Spirit of God. We're to yield ourselves to Him. We are to be submitted to Him. We are, my friend, to find ourselves in this ungodly world being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, well, He never says anything to me. Well, that's not a problem with Him. That's a problem with you. Because if you're born of the Spirit, He's on the inside. And again, when you go to do something that is not pleasing to God, that Spirit says, wait a minute, you can't go down this path. You can't go to that place and be a child of God and go in there and reproach the name of Christ. You can't engage in this activity and be right with God. What is that? That's the Spirit of God that is on the inside that leads you and I from the very moment in time that we got saved by the grace of God. How do I overcome the world? I must have confidence that He knows the way better than I. He can get me through. He can lead me around every snare and every satanic fiery dart that's in this world. If I lean on Him and am filled with Him and I don't grieve Him in my life, I don't quench Him in my life, I can make it through this world and have victory over the world through confidence in the paths of the Spirit. He's bearing witness in my life every day. This is right, this is wrong. This is right, this is wrong. You can do this, but you can't do that. You can go to this place, but you can't go to that place. Why are y'all staring at me like that? It's true. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God has been brought down to a level by men who are scared for whatever reason, the charismatic doctrines that are running around in our day. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is real. He's alive, and if you're saved, He dwells on the inside, and He has a ministry of leading and guiding your life through this wicked world. John 16:33, here's what Jesus said. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What about that? You know what Jesus just said? He said, you're in the world, it's going to be bad, be happy about it. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Don't be discouraged. Don't be long-faced. Don't be sad. Don't be dragging your tracks out. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Our whole fault tonight is victory in Jesus. I'm glad. And even though I'm not of the world, I'm in the world, there's still things I've got to deal with as it relates to my flesh and the pull from the world to get me involved in their way of living. But thanks be unto the Lord, I can be of good cheer. I can have victory. My Lord, my Savior has already overcome the world, and I can through His ability and His person and His power, I can have victory tonight. There's no excuse, Brother A.L., for us to be defeated tonight. Be of good cheer, child of God. Maybe tonight you need to just get on this altar and say, Lord, I know I'm saved, and I know you put some power in there, but I ain't been quite living maybe like I should be, and get that thing right. Maybe you need to get right and get back in love with the church like you should be. Maybe tonight you need to make a commitment. You're going to get back, get a right relationship with the Word of God again. Maybe tonight you've been doing things your own way rather than the way the Spirit of God wants you to do it. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Don't lose your victory. I've overcome. You can overcome. Let's stand together. Father, I love you tonight. I want to thank you for the Word of the Lord. Lord, tonight I pray that you'd give us victory tonight. Lord, we're living in this ungodly world. We need your help. My family needs your help. My children need your help. Lord, my church needs your help. God, their families that are represented here tonight, their marriages are in turmoil. Their families are on the brink of being destroyed because they're worldly. They live after the philosophies of the world. Lord, I pray they'd realize they're saved. There's a better way to live. Father, tonight I'm asking you, as you have overcome the world, as Christ has overcome the world and left us an example, may you help us tonight, Lord, to live in victory. Lord, we believe it tonight that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Father, grow our confidence in you. May we be strengthened in the faith tonight. May we yield ourselves to the things of God all over again. God, on a daily basis, help us to experience victory over the world. In Jesus' name, amen. No one's looking around. There's a few that's come, some on the altar praying. Do you mind the Lord this evening? Would you mind the Lord this evening? Can I ask you a question and you be real honest with me now tonight? How many say, Pastor, and it's mostly just our church crowd here this evening. How many would say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me? Between you, me, and God, I have to be honest. I'm struggling with some things that are in this world right now. I'm not asking you what it is. Just be honest and say, Pastor, please pray for me. There's some things as it relates to my relationship with the world I really need some help with. I really need some victory over. Pastor, would you please pray for me? Is there one anywhere? God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Is there another? Is there another? Pastor, please pray for me. God bless you, sis. Is there another? Preacher, please pray for me. There's some things I'm struggling with, I'm battling with as it relates to the world. Anybody else? Father, tonight I pray in Jesus' name again. Lord, you know who's here tonight that's saved and who's not. You know those that, Lord, have battles that rage in their life, in their mind, in their heart, in their soul, in their thoughts, Lord, every day and every week of their life. God, you know the things that we deal with. God, we're kidding ourselves, Lord. Lord, we live in this world. Lord, we're all acquainted with the pull that it tries to have on us. And so, Lord, I pray for each of us tonight. Give us victory. But, Lord, especially these that have been honest and raised their hand. Lord, you know where they are and what they need. God, I pray that you'd help them. God, I pray tonight that you'd give them, Lord, the victory they need in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it tonight for them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody look this way, amen, all hearts free. That's where you're supposed to say,